Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahunt. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahunt.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome once again to Elevated Places, and I am your host, Ava Mahunt. We are so pleased to be back with you again. And, of course, we know that today is a day that President Abraham Lincoln officially called for a celebration on the fourth Thursday in November, and then that was followed by President Franklin Roosevelt making this a national holiday. Now, for us as black people, there is an entirely different meaning, as well as for the Native American people, there's an entirely different meaning associated with today. And certainly, we all should every single day, and as Muslims, 5 times a day, as Christians, Hebrew, whatever our belief system is, if we believe in the existence of the Supreme Being, we should always be found thankful to Allah God for His grace and mercy. But today is a day where white America celebrates its subjugation of this country and the means by which they did it. And so tonight we want to hear from all of you, and there's a large number of you on the call. I thank you for taking time to be with me this evening. But, of course, as always, it is a serious blessing to be joined by 2 brilliant black men. First of all, my co-host, Brother Terrence Mahunt, and then our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Mahunt, who is also the Nation of Islam's Minister of Agriculture. And, of course, he's giving us an education in agriculture. But I want to say to both of my brothers, assalamu alaikum, and thank you all so much for being with me.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thankful to be here.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is a very, very profound year, 2013. And tonight, before we get into our discussion, of course, we want to hear, Brother Terrence, from you, because we have some really big events coming up. So, Brother Terrence, if you could go ahead and update us on something really important for this weekend.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It is. I am so excited. I'm you know, about to get in the air. I can't tell you how I'm going to be in the air, but about to get in the airways to go to a great city of Indianapolis where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be this weekend. He's going to make a weekend out of it. He's going to be talking to the leadership of Indianapolis. But on Sunday at 4 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m., live and direct, you will hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's something that you do not want to miss. I know people wanted to see him in Tuskegee for the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March, but our big brother, Brother Ishmael, did a wonderful job. So now you can hear Minister Farrakhan live at 4 p.m. at the Indianapolis Convention Center. And we thank our student minister, Brother Nur Muhammad, and all those with him for pushing hard, getting the flyers out, because they had a date for November, but now it's going to be this Sunday, so I can't wait. I cannot wait to be in that midst and in that city of Indianapolis. And I have to say, I know it's in February. February 21st to the 23rd is our annual Savior's Day convention, but I got to give a big shout out to Detroit, and you do not want to miss being in Detroit for Savior's Day. I'm just going to say it like everybody, if you can get your children there so they can have it on the record that they was there, you don't want to miss it. But, of course, this weekend, Minister Farrakhan is going to be in Indianapolis. And we, as you said, this is not only a day that some take heed in celebrating saints, but that's why we have the book, Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, and we have the historical records, which we need to remember, because on this day, it wasn't necessarily giving thanks, but there was massacres, there was killings of a people that were already here on this land, and we make sure that we remember them, and we make sure that we remember the suffering of our people and all those that are not giving thanks today because they do not have places to stay, food to eat, as legislation and as this government still shows its wicked hand. And as we'll continue to see the different killings, the different things going across our nation, we must support this economic blueprint that has been put before us. So that's all I have for the day because we got a lot to talk about tonight. But once again, Minister Farrakhan, this Sunday, December 1st at 4 p.m. at the Indianapolis Convention Center, and live and direct, and it's free, 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 free.
That's right. Yeah, December 1, and a lot willing I'll be there because I'm in Ohio now. Drive right through Indianapolis going back, and I said, oh, what a blessing.
That's right.
See him, as you said, you know, his first major appearance.
Right.
In quite a while because of the health challenges that he has faced. He was not able to appear at the Holy Day of Atonement, and so this is a huge event for all of us. But, you know, brothers, I was blown away by, and I don't know who chose this. I'm going to find out. Maybe you know, Dr. Ridgely. Who chose the Houston Let Us Make Man speech for the Theology of Time, Part 46? Do you know?
No, I don't know who chose it, but it was a good choice.
Wasn't it? Oh, my God. I want to say to the callers and listeners out in cyberspace and by phone, beloved, you have got, and this is no promo, marketing, none of this, straight from my heart. I was absolutely blown away. This is the 1994 Minister Farrakhan right. In Houston, Texas, men only, as he reaches out to black men across America to come and meet him. The following year, October the 16th, 1995, in Washington, D.C. for the Million Man March. And this event took place in a church in Houston. There were 13,000 brothers in the church.
That's right.
And another 15,000 or more outside.
Right. That's
who
right.
Could not get in. And
that's right.
That message, you know, I want to say, you know, also to the sisters who are listening, that, you know, it's a great blessing to be able to hear what he said to the black man.
That's right.
And every woman who is married or desires to get married, and if you're a natural woman, you desire to be married to a man. And
right.
If you have sons, if you have a brother, a father, a male friend, he teaches us as black women by how he is teaching the man. He teaches us how to understand the black man and also how to and what it is we, I shouldn't say how as well, but what we need to do to help our man, the black man, because he's our man. He's not the white woman's man. He's the black woman's man.
That's right.
And we have to go back into our natural self that we may give him the inspiration and motivation to be himself. But he dropped such diamonds that it was just mind-boggling to me. And not to mention the optics of this speech. It was beautiful looking at those men and looking at the minister and the E-team and that pastor at that church. Oh, my God. And he talked about how he knew that just by virtue of having Minister Farrakhan in his church, did he say, Dr. Rizzo, he was going to lose friends?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said, but you got 30,000 new ones. Somebody from the audience.
Right.
Yes. Look at what. Right. Look at Allah. Look at and the pastor said, "This is not my house. This is God's house."
Yep.
And he and the minister told the people, "God brought y'all here."
Right.
That's
but
right.
That message, that and it is such a powerful base for the release now, 20 years later, of the economic blueprint for ending poverty and want.
That's
so
right.
I am begging everybody, please look at that message as soon as possible.
Yeah, go to YouTube.
It will bring it back together for you. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, it was all about love. And before you can have an economy, certain spiritual problems have to be fixed in the black community. And so Mr. Farrakhan has to teach men how to love one another, just so we can learn, be able to do business. Because we don't love each other. We love the man who has persecuted us. We're afraid of him, but yet that's a love-hate relationship. But with black men, it's just a hate relationship. Because he's made it so, the white man has made it so, to show love towards another black man, you will be persecuted. Like the minister, the preacher there at that church, he knew that he was to be persecuted because he opened his doors to show love to another black man. There are consequences that every black man in America understands if you show love and respect to another black man. But without that love and respect, we cannot develop a community, we cannot develop an economy, and really that is the basis. We got all these degrees, but we have not been properly degreed in love. And this is what Minister Farrakhan shows, his love for us, and he's trying to teach us how we can love one another.
That's right.
That's right. And we are at 347-324-5091 to join the conversation. Brother Terrence, I think you were about to say something.
Yeah, man, I think one of the things that, I definitely want to go back on something that I said, I think, last week, talking about how we should view, how we should see the minister. And we always should view the minister from the scripture and the word and where he's moving in that. But, you know, Jesus in the Bible made no reputation of himself. And Jesus just went amongst the people and amongst the land and did his work. And, you know, he asked the question of the disciples, who do they say I am? You know, he asked that question. So when you look, you know, and the minister doesn't need to say who he is or even mention
right.
who he is. We just need to look at what he has done. So when you go back, and it's monumental to look at that particular lecture of Texas, because when you said, like, when they was once outside to see 30,000 men waiting to get into a church and 15,000 still outside, I mean, you know, 13 get in and 15 still out, that's a monumental occasion. And I don't think for folks that, yeah, that's a large number. And then to see the pastor crying in tears to say that he would lose friends. So this was not a stage event, but then he looked into a sea of black men in his church when the minister talked about how you don't see the men in church, you only see the women. And this black man, I don't know if this pastor has seen that many men inside his church and trying to get in. And now that he has been you know, it was just a beautiful thing. And I think the power of what the minister, what he can draw and the power that he draws in us and out of us is a beautiful thing to see.
It really is. And to Dr. Ridge's point about the minister zeroing in on love and opening up with love, you know, and the title, Let Us Make Man. And I loved when he said that the term, the word love and the word life are the same word. And, you know, the minister is an English major on top of everything else. He's a multifaceted genius, and he's an English major, and so that just adds to his depth. But he taught how the F and the V in the English language and the alphabet are interchangeable.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they're the same letter. The same with the two vowels, the I in life and the O in love, they too are interchangeable. And so God, you know, you hear God is love, the equal sign that God is the essence of love, and love is life. And this is why the black community is a graveyard, because there is no love there. As you just pointed out, we've been taught and trained, and it didn't happen overnight. It took a half a millennium. We're pushing up on 500 years with the enemy. And he's working harder than ever to make us devalue ourselves and one another. And then he got into the purpose of a man and a woman coming together. What is the purpose of a man having a woman and a woman having a man? And he gave just a whole another understanding that is so far above and so different from what we have been exposed to here in Western society and in North America. I mean, this was a teaching that transcends this 6,000 year period that we are now coming out of. So it was an incredible thing. I also was blessed to, and we'll go to the phones shortly. I was blessed to see, thanks to Brother Kershawn in Chicago, he is a manager over at the ICE, that's Inner City Entertainment Theaters, and they had a limited showing of The Trials of Muhammad Ali. Now, there was an HBO film recently on it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an independent feature film that is a documentary. We do plan to show it at Savior's Day if you are not able to see it. This film is mandatory for the Muslims, because the whole public needs to see it, but us more than anyone, because it teaches us our history. Back to it doesn't go back to the 30s, because that was not captured this way. But you will be you will be exhilarated by this film, but it will also show you that we really are not in the league with the brothers and sisters of that time and the battles that they had to fight. Now you got brothers running up and down the court in the NBA, in the NFL, and all of these Muhammads and Rasul and Ashads and all of these Raheem and Rahman. And you've got to understand, as late as the 60s into the 70s, the battle that we had to fight openly to call ourselves in our original name. To watch Muhammad Ali, every time he gave an interview, every time he encountered people, they would persist in calling him Cassius Clay. after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him Muhammad Ali. And he would say, that is not my name.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed with his willingness to let go of a very advantaged life because this jeopardized his livelihood. He was
right.
making millions of dollars as a boxer. His license was suspended because he would not go and fight America's manufactured war in Vietnam. And you get to see in there Khalilah Ali and see what a believing, strong woman can do to get a black man through his trials,
mm-hmm.
along with the strength that he was drawing from simply from being an FOI. And the way that the believers felt toward the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
When that movie ended, I said, I want to be like that with Minister Farrakhan.
Mm.
You know, we think we are that way, but we haven't really been tried yet. You know, how far are we willing to go to stand up on what our teacher has taught us? Because that's what the bottom line was. It was all about being true to what we say we believe, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. And, you know, word is bond. Bond is life.
That's right. Exactly. You really see it in that film.
Yep.
And then you listen to brothers like Abdul Rahman Muhammad in Atlanta, Minister Abdul Bia Muhammad in Miami, who were young soldiers. And then, of course, Minister Farrakhan is interviewed, and they show his interviews at even frequencies throughout the film, his commentary, and it's just absolutely beautiful, just beautiful. But we really need to understand what a fight is, and then, of course, to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking back in the 60s and 70s, and every time he gets up, he's talking about separation.
That's right.
Every time they show a clip, he's talking about separation. It is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And the believers were not caught up in this way of life. And a lot of times we think that this is about a rejection of white people as people. But
Come
it's
on.
Not.
Come on.
No, God is not judging white people and coming... bringing America to an end because it's white. It's not their whiteness, it's their way of life. The absence of melanin is a means of identification. You know, it's like somebody coming on and saying somebody just robbed a bank and they're wearing a red shirt. You know, so the shirt is not the crime.
Come on.
You know, the red shirt is not the crime. The red shirt helps you identify the criminal.
The shirt's
so
not
what
doing
makes
it.
Him a criminal is not that he's wearing a red shirt, it's that he robbed a bank. And so
That's
white
right.
people, we don't say this is an enemy because they're white. You're an enemy because you have raped and murdered and subjugated an entire people and through them the entire globe. And you have rebelled openly against every single one of God's laws. That's what's got you in trouble.
And not only that you have done that, you still intend to do that.
That way of life.
Right, that's right.
I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that not only what they did, but they intend to continue it. And now they're forcing it on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So it's not something they did.
Unrepentant. Yes.
Unrepentant. Yep.
Just like, you know, I'm continuing in this. Yes, I'm continuing in this. You know, Walmart, I mean, you talk about revelation. Walmart, the wealthiest private company that on the globe, the five children, rather, of Sam Walton, combined well, and one of them died. He made an experimental airplane and crashed. So he's gone. So his widow got his money because he has so much money. You know, you don't know what to do. So you, well, I'm gonna make me an experimental plane. So experiment didn't work, and he killed himself. So his widow is still here, and they now. I used to talk about them having. He left them $15 billion in cash each, Sam Walton. Now they have a combined wealth. Just these five people. They have a combined wealth of $144 billion.
Mm.
Okay? And that's an interesting number. $144 billion. Dollars. Their wealth combined is greater than the lower 40% of Americans. You take the lowest 40% of income in the entire United States, and it does not equal the wealth of the six Walmart heirs. Now, with all of that money, which I can't even imagine that, you don't even want that kind of money. You'd have to immediately start giving it away. So they... rather than show beneficence, which when you're granted great wealth, you're supposed to demonstrate beneficence, the great attribute of Allah. Instead of that, what do? They try to get more money.
Right.
They buy their own stock from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They pay their workers. And they are the largest private employer in America. They also are the largest private employer of black people, which gets to this economic blueprint. Largest private employer of black people in the United States is Walmart. 1.4 million black people work for Walmart.
Wow.
Walmart.
Wow.
Hey, it's workers. And I want you to think about that next time you go in there, because we need to turn our back. That's what I mean by their way of life. See, yeah, I'm black. I'm a Muslim. I'm militant. But are you up in there supporting that? Because their low prices that they're able to offer you come on the backs of their employees.
That's right.
They pay their employees so little. They can charge you little, you see. Their employees have to go and get assistance, food stamps, to eat.
That's right.
Because they are paid so low. So the American taxpayer subsidizes the richest country in the world. And these Republicans want to sit up in this Congress and cut food stamps? And you don't want to leave these people yet? You see, so we have got to make this exodus. We have got to gird our loins and say, look, we're going to show our people, since we say we believe this, those of us who say that, and anybody that's listening to this show, you are a conscious person, because most people in America would not even listen to nothing like this.
Right.
It would be the most boring thing imaginable to them. Or there'd be some scared Negroes who'd be scared to hear it. You know, so everybody that's on this show listening is a very conscious person who has resisted the gravitational pull, but that's not enough. Now we have to get out of here. You can't just climb up to the edge of the well and then not keep pushing because you'll fall back in.
That's right.
You know, we have to make a move now, because for a store, a company to be able to do that and get away with it is absolutely criminal.
Well, you know, and Dr. Ava, it's even deeper, you know, when I look at the issue that's going on in North Carolina and some of the legislation that's going on just recently. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, the state president of the NAACP, Reverend William Barber, along with some other clergy and some people, went and we delivered some petitions to the governor of North Carolina to rescind some crazy legislation that he and some other folks in Congress or North Carolina state legislature had passed. And, you know, about at least 600,000 people will be cut December 31st from their unemployment insurance, Medicaid benefits. And literally some people in the medical profession said that people will die after December 31st because they won't have money to sustain themselves. And one of the people that we're going to are fighting against is a guy named Art Pope. And Art Pope, he has shops all throughout North Carolina, and these shops are in the black community. So where the black people go shop, the money that he makes from us is going and used to cut, you know, and pass legislation that is damaging to us. So it's interesting how you say that we're funding Walmart in our own destruction and our own, you know, downfall. And it's funny that you talk about that, not to uplift or downplay Kanye West, but recently he's been in the news on a show called Sway in the Morning. Sway has been on MTV, good commentator. He's on XM Radio, on Sirius Radio. He's also on his show, The Breakfast Club. But Kanye just went on a rant, and everybody sees Kanye as crazy. But one of the things that Kanye was saying, and he's trying to force himself in this fashion world of white people. He was naming all the names. But instead of Kanye pulling out, which one of the commentators said, why don't you just do for yourself and have your own stuff, he went into crazy rage. But the funny thing that he was saying was that he was talking on one of the shows how him and his wife, even though Kanye is a millionaire, his wife is a millionaire, he was saying our money is nowhere near the legacy money of those in England. And he was just showing, in a sense, of what we talked about in the secret relationships between blacks and Jews, the disproportional wealth that's out there. So even on this quote-unquote day of Thanksgiving and tomorrow, Black Friday, we're continuing to give wealth, or give not money but wealth, to those that are already in power. And they could, it's like a perpetual cycle that they will stay in power and they will have wealth. They're just literally, they're millionaires off interest, not even touching their money. Their money is not even touched. Okay. And they just pass that on and on. So it's very interesting.
Well, that's exactly right.
And it makes it hard for us to set up a competitive model, because it's just like, let's say you have a nice car, and there's a road that's fully paved. Would you put your car on that fully paved road, or would you put your car on a bumpy road that hasn't been finished yet?
Mm-hmm.
So when we try to come up and compete with the system, we're compared to a nice, smooth road, and we are not willing to take the bumps necessary to build and fix our own. And that's therefore we continue on his road and on his smooth rail and continue to feed the system, and it makes it more difficult for us to catch up, because we are feeding the very thing that we are trying or should be competing against. And so this week's final call, I find is so fascinating. I just picked it up today. There are a couple of articles in there that I must read. One of the articles is an example of the economic blueprint in action. The other article is by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, called Build Black Economy. And, of course, the article on Let Us Make Man is the speech that he gave in Houston that you were talking about, is in there as well. But Donald B. Elijah Muhammad has given us the keys to get up out of here. But he says, and in particular in the article on Build Black Economy, that we have copied the lifestyle of a rich, extravagant people. And now we become extravagant, and by doing that, we're feeding our open enemy, and he's getting further and further ahead while we're getting further and further behind, hoping that somehow he's going to reach back and pick us up, and he's not going to do that. So we have to break out. We have to break away, and the breakaway is first mental, it's cultural. we must forego on buying some things from them when we have an alternative amongst ourselves, even though the alternative may be a little bit more money, because there's a law that they just canceled out in Oklahoma. I didn't realize there was such a law, but there was a law that was made it illegal for retailers to sell their products less than their cost. Most of the big companies, you know, broke the law anyway, but that day just showed me the power of a $144 billion family.
Exactly.
Now, if I'm going up against them, they can lose $1 billion and not even feel it. That means they can buy $1 billion of product and just give it away at their store to get everybody to come into that store and leave my store high and dry. You know, they can do it all over the world. So how do you compete against that? There has to be a change in mindset. This is why the minister's teaching about love, love of self, love of each other. Love must come first, and then we support and help those that we love, even though we might have to sacrifice. Because as long as we're just trying to fulfill our own selfishness, the enemy has plenty of product for our own selfishness.
Right. Yes, sir. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to go to 314. I don't have names this evening because our beloved Sister LaDonna is not with us. So I'm going to call out your area code. So we have 314, and you are live on Elevated Places. Area code 314. Okay. I think this happened the last time I did this myself. Your mic is open on area code 314. All righty. We'll come back to you. 202 area code. Let's see if we can get your mic open.
E-M-P.
And you are live on Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava. This is Sister Joella. Can you hear me?
Walaikum salam, Sister Joella. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely, Brother Ridgely, how are you all this evening?
We're great.
Wonderful,
ma'am. Oh, praises due to Allah. I'm sitting here and listening, and as you're saying about the time and what must be done series that the minister spoke in 1994 at that church, it is just so moving in terms of the emotional part and just how it even started off with this pastor getting up and talking about losing the friends. And just like Brother Dr. Risley said about someone yelled out and said, well, you've gained 10,000 more as such. But I would say just something that all of us should look at and just be thankful that they're now showing it, because even the sisters can benefit from what the minister taught on that particular night to those brothers. But I also wanted to comment on what is taking place today with the economic blueprint that he tried to get us to follow many years ago, and the Most Honorable Elijah did as well. In the audience there, I think it was Brother Evangelist Holyfield.
Yes, Evangelist Holyfield.
And he was telling, you know, and thanking, the minister was thanking everyone who gave a certain amount. And I think Evangelist Holyfield gave about $5,000. And, you know, he was very modest with it. But then last evening, my husband and I were looking at this interview with, what's that, Pearson man with Mike Tyson on the show. I don't know whether anyone.
Piers Morgan.
Pierce Morgan, that's right. And he asked Mike Tyson the question about losing close to $400 million, give or take. And just what we're saying now about competing, it's just so sad how they will lure our gifted brothers into giving so little for a cause for our people, and yet they can get them to spend that kind of money and just lose out, and then in the end they come back almost like beggars, per se, you know, thanking, well, I'm just so happy, I don't worry about the money anymore and everything. And it was just so sad hearing, you know, Mike Tyson talk like that, and then to hear about Brother Holyfield losing his house, you know, I forget how much that was. But, again, just like we're saying, we just need to get away from the enemy and just really begin just trying to do for self, because it is just so sad that our young people, our children, are seeing this, and they're saying, well, what's the use? I might as well just go along with the system. So, again, this is so important. This show is so important for us to hear and to follow and obey what our minister is saying and what was given to him by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So with that, I'm just going to continue to listen, and may Allah continue to help us to help our people to move forward. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank
you.
Islam.
Wa alaykum salam. Great call. Thank you, Sister Joella. And you know, what Sister Joella is pointing out about, the, you know, Dr. Rizzi, you know, the cyclical nature of living with the enemy, and we rise and fall, because there is a ceiling, and once you reach it, you encounter resistance, and you fall, and then you are allowed to come back to maybe half the status that you once had, just enough for you to come before the people and bear witness that your enemy is God. And as she said, you know, you have the Mike Tysons, Evander Holyfield, come back, and after making hundreds of millions of dollars, go into bankruptcy. Because this is
Kanye
a
West
paradigm
lost 13,
that we didn't develop.
Yeah, he lost $13 million in his attempts to get into the clothing industry. So they allow you to make some money, but then they guide you. They guide you to lose your money to their cousins.
To lose it, yes.
Okay. They've been playing this for hundreds, even really 2,000 years. These Jews have been playing this same game, so they've done it so well. And you talk about the cyclical nature of how they rip us off, where they rip off the whole world in a cyclical nature, and they get ready to sink it again. Because the Federal Reserve is pumped up the money, reducing interest rates, which has pumped up the stock market, which means we'll get some more suckers to get back into the stock market. And like they took them in 2008, they're going to take them again on exactly a cyclical thing. I know, I even know the number. I know the day. I know the cycle now. I'm going to do a book on it eventually. But I know their cycle is deep. But they have a cyclical nature of shearing the sheep. And so we have to get up underneath the game, because it is a game, and they got all the cards.
That's right.
Right. Teach it. We're going to go to 225 area code. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to Elevated Places, 225.
Wa alaykum salam. How y'all doing?
All right.
Drop it, Lewis.
Good to hear from y'all. I'm so happy y'all came on tonight.
To hear from you.
We
wouldn't have it any other way.
That's right. I hope that Dr. Ridgely announces the place that he's going to be in. He's going to be in Mississippi this weekend, so that we can come and see Dr. Ridgely. Dr. Ridgely?
Yes.
You're going to be in
Greenville on Jackson Avenue. You can go to NOIMOA.com. And there'll be a flyer there. Just hit it, and you'll see where we're going to be at, NOIMOA.com.
And he's going to prove that farmers can talk. But I
don't
want to
hear every Thursday.
That's right. I wanted to say one thing that we always have to keep in mind, that we can never prepare our people for war on any level, whether that be cultural or economic or even physical, without letting our people know that they have an enemy and being clear about that. If you go to the Marines or the military, as I have, they always make it clear who your enemy is.
Come on.
And that's very important because as we were leading up to the Million Man March, it was taught definitively who our open enemy is and constant oppressor.
That's right.
And we have a tendency sometime as we get rocked to sleep in this culture of integration, which we always have to point out what rocks black people to sleep is integration, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the only man in the annals of history who has ever had to navigate and maneuver down the socially engineered system of integration. Nobody else has ever been able to do it. In fact, no one else can get anything off the ground even a little bit under integration. That's just how deadly it is. So we shouldn't underestimate that socially engineered system. And Minister Farrakhan is proving that God is with us and with him by maneuvering us down the stream of integration. And the difference is the difference between floating a boat on water versus cement. That's how deadly integration is. It makes us to where people who do good things for us, such as Marion Barry, which made more black millionaires than any other mayor in this country, and we let Chris Rock, was it, get on national TV and mock a man that made so many of us millionaires. If you own a black business, you hire black people. We don't march for jobs. We should be owning businesses so that we can hire many of our people. So, you know, we can't be silent when people are trashing people who do really good things for us. And unfortunately, because of how we are, sometimes, like, we have a tendency, whoever white people put up as the leader, we embrace them also rather than pointing out the good people like Henry Highlander Garnett. There's no way you should ever mention Douglas's name, Frederick Douglass's name, and not mention Henry Highlander Garnett because he wanted land, freedom, and independence. We shouldn't let people talk about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey or lift up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name or, trash Minister Farrakhan's name or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name. So I wanted to, would hope that we would always teach our people and never stop teaching our people about the enemy because that's what motivates everything in nature. Deers don't run fast based on how much wolves love them. They run faster based on the fact that they know that they have a mortal enemy. And if you go down the line of everything in nature moves and the best comes out of it based on the fact that they know they have an enemy. And integration has made us believe that, you know, Caucasians are our friend. And really, I'm almost, it makes me sick, really, to be honest about it, how even those of us who are conscious, we're not studying Minister Farrakhan enough to know how to maneuver in integration, and we're getting lost, some of us, you know. But I'll listen, really enjoying the show, and hope to see you this weekend, Dr. Ridgely. As-salamu alaykum.
All praise to Jesus. Wa alaykum salam. Great call, and I can't emphasize enough. That's one of my favorite points of truth.
That's
from
right.
This body of teachings. And I've got a lecture I did a while back. Somebody brought to my attention called Natural Enemies.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
We violate, oh my God, just one of the most fundamental laws of nature. And as Brother Lewis pointed out, in life, in all living organisms, animals, insects, reptiles, plants, they teach their offspring, even before they teach them how to hunt and how to eat, they teach them who the enemy is.
That's right.
Because there's no point of learning anything proactive and that will facilitate life if you're not aware and knowledgeable of that which is created with a natural propensity to kill you. And we do not want to accept that, even with it happening in our face day after day, week after week, month after month. You know, I heard an absolute idiot on the radio the other day, a female, a black woman. I'm so glad I couldn't get my hands around her neck. I would have choked her to death. She was justifying the murder of that sister in Detroit. And I said to myself, you know, this person is mentally ill. Well, you know, this integration makes us become unhinged. You know, and as you all are saying, you can't condemn integration enough.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we can justify the murder of a black person, but then we say love everybody. Now,
right.
Oh, my God.
You sure how slick white people are? I was in a post office down here in South Georgia, and this older white woman out of nowhere, and I said, you know, I just love everybody. I said, no, you don't. Don't even try that. But, you know, just out of the blue. Now, you know darn well that she don't love everybody, but she said that to a black person. The black person is supposed to accept that lie and say, well, I do too. You know, so they are scientists at trichnology. And keep falling for this same old okey-doke. And we always wind up at the back of the bus with no money, holding the bag, like our black president holding the bag. And you got these Negroes talking about love everybody. And that's not even in the Bible. Jesus didn't say it. It ain't nowhere in the Bible talking about love everybody. You know, Jesus didn't say he loved everybody. He said God hates his enemy, hates Satan in this world. So don't play me. But that's what they do. They will play you. And we, to be civil, we just smile and go, I said, well, you don't love everybody. Don't you play me.
And Dr. Ava, I want to go back to the lecture.
But you know, we're taught that the yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh no! I mean, I was just going to say I wanted to go back to the lecture that you was referring to. One of the lectures that you talked about is that when the enemy attacks, I think it was the jaguar. The jaguar doesn't wait till the enemy actually makes the attack. If the enemy comes
right
on the perimeter, just the
enemy appearance.
On the scene. Now, we don't even know what your intentions are, what you came for. We know, and the Lord said, you are the enemy. You are the enemy.
Right.
Why are you even in my eye presence? Take charge of this post.
Right.
All temple property in view. So that the fact that you're even in my eyesight, in my thought process, you are too close. So I ain't even letting
you
get
condemned
to that range.
I gotta take you out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so I have to take you out before you get in too close where you can do very serious damage. I'm not even letting you get into the borders. So that's one profound thing that you said in your lecture. And then the second thing is knowing the enemy and who is the real enemy and do a power analysis. Sometimes we bark and yell and throw all our ammunition at someone that we presume to be the enemy, but it is or he or she is not the real power or that entity
right.
is not the real power. They are the puppets of the puppeteer
right.
that have been put out in front of you to blast and for you to destroy. And it may be even a white person that you think is the enemy, but they run nothing, they back nothing, and they are not the real source. And then you
right.
have think you have arrived and overcome and have won a battle, but you literally lost the war because you have not done a ding or a damage to the real enemy. So the danger and threat of Minister Farrakhan, he's not dealing with dumb devils. He
right.
is literally dealing with the Satan, the devil in existence
yes,
in the world
yes,
today,
is.
And he calls by their name. He
right.
is the sun that exposes all that's in darkness.
That's right. That's right. And your point about presence, this is why it is so idiotic to seem bewildered every time one of our children is killed, shot in the head by the police or some vigilante. And, of course, then we do it to each other because we imitate the oppressor.
That's right.
But we always feel... We always behave as though this is shocking. But when you see a lion take down a zebra, you're not shocked by that.
Right.
You know, you're in your nature. The brain is created to think right. And so we know that what Minister Farrakhan is saying is the absolute truth.
That's right.
But it's that fear. It's that fear that... And like you said, Brother Tez, we in that confusion, because since the brain is created to think right, well, then what happens to the brain when it thinks wrong?
Right.
It begins to decline. It begins to deteriorate. It begins to disintegrate. Cells begin to die out. Cells become confused. Thoughts become confused because we were not created to think the thoughts that we are picking up in this environment that we are in.
Right.
And this is why we have to come out of it, because like Brother Terrence said, there's parameters. There's an environment. So not only do we have to know who the enemy is, we have to stay out of one another's designated territory.
That's right.
See, lions live in a certain part of the jungle. The zebra has a place they live. A black widow spider lives in a certain spot. And if you stay out of there, you'll be all right.
Right.
Only the white man intrudes and invades every living creature's habitat.
That's right.
And then expresses shock when there's a response. But if
right.
you leave us alone, we will leave you alone. But like you said about presence, see, Trayvon Martin's presence was a
right.
threat to George Zimmerman. He made up his mind. He was going to kill him immediately. All this other stuff is made up.
That's right.
To be able to get away with doing this, because integration has created confusion all around. This is why the Tea Party people are so upset, because integration makes all of us act other than ourselves. They need to be allowed to be who they are so we can see them.
Right.
Why are we making white people allow us to come among them in peace, in superficial peace? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to act like you can go up in the nest of an anaconda and have lunch?
Right.
Well, let's
come out of there alive.
Well, look how they're messed up by nature, Dr. Ava. You know, let's go back to the scandal thing, and about what you said about what your sister said about what was intriguing about scandals was the adultery.
Adultery.
If you take away the adultery, then you remove what's intriguing. So, in other words, black people have bought into the culture of breaking the law of God, and they're feeding on it like a pig.
Right.
So
right.
we don't want to leave Satan. You know, we had in our teachings it says, why does the devil keep us away from his social equality? You know, but we have gone up there and we want some of that slop. We like his how he's
exactly.
filthy he is in all his affairs. We like him that now, and we are trapped by those amenities and those sins and that luxury and extravagance that we've gotten locked in. It's not that we have. I ain't afraid of white man. No, but you're afraid to leave him, though. You're not afraid of him as a person.
Yeah, you
but
don't want. Yeah,
world,
you don't want
to leave
his way of life. You
right.
want to indulge. It's worse than being afraid.
Come on.
You know, our ancestors were justified being fearful of him in the time and season that they lived in. I mean, think about that. They were caught in a time prison. Because it was not time
right.
to take him down. So they had to suffer through that to get us to where we are. Now it's time. His end is here, and our end with him is here. But we are so in love with his way of life.
That's
you know,
right.
why we call ourselves militant. But we're going to go to 213, who's been holding for quite some time. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
Alaykum Assalam. This is Brother Ron. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. The sister was talking about Evander Holyfield and how he lost all of his money. And there's a statistic that 60% of the NBA players, 5 years after they retire, go bankrupt.
Mm.
And in the NFL, it's 80%.
Mm.
And just some of today's realities, I was doing some research, and they said the average U.S. debt is over $16,000, and that's excluding mortgages. More than one in four Americans have no savings, 49% have no retirement. 63% have no will, 82% have no trust, and 71% have no power of attorney. Now, that's for the average American. So, you know, for black people,
black
it's much worse.
Oh, it's probably terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's much worse. And so, you know, we don't have control over our career, future, income, schedule, advancements, and that's what points up so beautifully to the minister's economic blueprint. And
yes.
Lastly, I'd just like to say that taking from Proverbs says a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Oh, I love these callers. Oh, my God.
For
you know,
data.
Oh, those statistics, numbers,
more.
Math, truth. I mean, look at us. And as the brother said, that's the average. So we have to be off the charts, okay? If the average American, which is primarily, they're talking about white folks, no savings, no will. No. See, this whole Walmart piece and this Walton family, generational wealth.
Right.
And by the way, I was reading Sam Walton's a brief bio sketch of him. Do you know what he did for a living? He was born in 1918, and so he was coming to maturity, you know, as a young man in the middle of the Depression, and he was in his teens. And as he became a young adult, what he did for a living was repossess homes.
Mm.
Okay? That's what he did.
Mm.
It's his whole career. When I saw that, I said, well, see, you started out as a taker.
Yep.
You know, you're somebody that enforced the will of the banks, okay? And that's the Walton family philosophy. You know, they are oblivious to all of these protests. They don't even hear any of this.
Right.
They don't hear none. All of this going out protesting, I get it and all that. But that, it doesn't work. And there's a season for that. And then it ceases to be effective. It's amazing how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you just know he met with God because he gave truth very brief, very blunt, and it's taking us years to comprehend the depth of what he said. You know, it's like Brother Ishmael said the other day that he was in a meeting, and one of the leaders that was present said, the older I get, the smarter the Honorable Elijah Muhammad becomes.
That's right.
You know, and this person said in this meeting, you know, the Minister Farrakhan has a plan. Where's the plan? Where's the program? You know, at what point are we going to try the program, the plan? See, it's coming to a head now.
Yep.
That people are realizing day by day that this is the way that we're going to have to go. Because when you hear those kind of bleak numbers, why are we holding on to this? There's no such thing as generational wealth for black folks. Because
that's right.
What he said, 80% of the NFL? Woke.
Five years later? Crazy. It's crazy.
Because as you point out all the time, Dr. Ridges, from secret relationships between blacks and Jews, this whole financial structure is such that you're never going to make enough money to become financially secure, because it's not a structure that was built to allow us to assimilate into it. It's not going to happen. Genetic
annihilation. If you don't own the means of production, and the only thing you have is your labor and then your consumption dollar, they just increase the cost of what you have to buy faster than you're what they pay you in labor, and you slowly moved into becoming a slave. And it's just scientific. Yeah. When they do it, and it's like this frog is in this boiling water, it's low boil, and he don't even feel it, you know? But that's how they do it. And they're scientific at it. We got the data to show it. How the increase in the cost of your basic items are going up faster than your income. Therefore, you're slowly being squeezed and becoming a debt slave. And we have been tricked by that. We know mathematics is Islam. Islam mathematics. We need to see what's happened to us, and then through mathematics, pull ourselves up 5 cents a day, 10 cents a day. Put it away. At least he won't get that. The enemy won't get that, and then you get yourself into a mode where you can give even more to yourself, and then we can put some things in place to hire yourself and your children. But you got to break this habit, get off that smooth road to hell that he's lined up for you. Maybe a little bumpy on a new road that we're developing, but you know we can put some pavement on there in a minute. But you got to get off this smooth road because it's taking you straight to economic hell and now even to moral hell.
And with all that our parents suffered, what we're being asked to do is nothing compared to what has been sacrificed for us to arrive at this point. We got another 225, so we're gonna go to you at 225. Let's get the mic open. Welcome to Elevated Places. You are at 284 Exchange.
Yes, ma'am. Salam alaikum,
family.
Walaikum salam.
Yeah, this is Brother Joseph Muhammad down here with Brother Lewis.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, we down here taking the 225 to the next level.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, ma'am. So I had the family, Dr. Wiglet, Brother Terrence, Sister Ava.
You're fine, brother.
Everyone
I'm just
is
sitting here enjoying this. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for lying. I'm just sitting here enjoying this, I'm telling you. And with all said, I'm just going to say this a little bit and can get off it. But what we were saying, like Brother Channel was saying about how we really can't let this devil come in our presence, he must be around us. Because like you said, Dr. David, Sister David, that when an animal got his place in his space, he would not let another animal or anything come and disturb his peace. So we had black people knowing that open enemy is our enemy. We should take our general orders and say we would not allow anyone to come near our post or even around our post. Because if you come near or around, he's going to affect you because that's the way he is.
Exactly.
And he ain't going to let us doing that. So I want to say that we got to do this thing. Like Brother Falcon doing for us, we trying to get this 35 cents a week, one for the month, 18 for a year. So we can do this, but we just got to hear and obey. We got to take this program like it should have been took a long time ago. But now we really need to take it because the time is at hand. And right now we're suffering as a people. And we got to come on with this program because ain't nobody going to do it for us. We got to do it because this white man, he going to be white and he's going to continue to give us a Black Friday and a Black Thursday now. I thank y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, welcome to wonderful call.
You know, that Black Friday, my wife, Sister Ann, when she was reading the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, she realized that that section on page like 245, 246, that was talking about, they called it Nigger Day. And that was the day back in the day where the sharecroppers would come in and they would get paid for their crop. And the man would pay them in the back of the store and they'd have a whole bunch of free stuff and cheap stuff out front, you know, liquor, food. Then to lure them to spend their money. And one of the taxes they would use is that on that day, that Friday, the stores would vie with one another on getting people in. And it said the first customers that come in would be able to get stuff at an extreme discount. So then you had black people lining up trying to get into the store to be the first one so they can get that extreme discount. Now, of course, the extreme discount was really bringing it down to the cost, because they would jack the price up all year and then drop it that one time so you think you're getting the bargain, and here is Black Friday.
And, you know, and Dr. Richard, I'm glad
that
you brought...
That's exactly what you're
doing now. Yep, and I'm glad you brought that whole point up, because that's where I wanted to go before we got off to the show, just to make sure, number one, that people be careful if you don't want to pay or heed the listening and conversation that we're saying, go out. Be very careful, because there have been many reports over the years of people getting hurt, trampled over,
yep,
hospitalized, just to get into these stores. But, you know, one of my friends who's no longer with us, Brother Steve Coakley, we remember we were saying we would have a boycott of all nine Black businesses during the month of November, December, and January, where the retailers make up all of
right.
this being in the red for all year. This is why they call it Black Friday, because Black people give all their money to get corporations back in the black. So we
yep.
buy up everything between the next day after Thanksgiving to Christmas to sell. So we spend. We don't save. We give out, and it gets them back in the black. And they, you know, just as we were on the dollar bills in the South for picking cotton, then we're still the one used as Black Friday to get them back in the black and out of debt, which puts us in debt, but get them out of debt during this time, retailers. So we always say buy black during this time. So I would say, as you want to follow Dr. Ava at Dr. Ava Muhammad on her Twitter, but also put out there, support the economic blueprint on Black Friday. That's the real Black Friday, that everybody go out and get someone to support the economic blueprint. So if you out shopping and you out, get you some flyers and hand them out and say, give a portion of your Black Friday dollars to the Black Economic Blueprint, and make sure that they get that, because this is going to be a day that corporations smile, because they'll once again have black folks getting them back where they need to be.
And that's,
yep.
that's a beautiful and necessary point, because it's an investment in self. We're not, as you all have said, we're not accustomed to investment in ourselves because of our experience here, the training of the mind, even being reshaped genetically, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad points out in Message to the Black Man, nursing fear from the milk of our mother's breast. And so we are being reintroduced with nickels and dimes to the concept of self-investment, you know, self-acceptance. The other thing about this Walmart that we got to understand, with the 1.4 million black people working for them, substandard wages, they pay their employees so low that their employees can't shop anywhere but with them. So that narrative that you gave, from, that Sister Ann revisited, about the sharecropper, it's the same system.
That's right.
It's just that, you see, the system never changes. The appearance of it looks different because we're in modern times, but the concept remains the same. So you work in Walmart. You're right there on the plantation.
Come on.
You get this little tiny check, and you don't even leave. You can't even leave the store.
Come on.
Because you can't afford to shop anywhere else but where you work, which is the cheapest store there is.
Right.
And see, look at what he says. Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. Because
right.
poverty produces want.
Teach.
And that want is what keeps us enslaved.
Go ahead.
Our impoverished condition, see, makes us want to stay with this enemy, because we're so limited in resources
mm-hmm.
that we view him as God. We don't
That's
move
right.
outside his sphere of influence, and he sees to it that we don't. One Walmart in Ohio actually, now look at this for nerve. As my grandmother said, you have more nerve than a brass monkey. There's a Walmart in Ohio that had a canned food drive for its employees. Do you hear me? A canned food drive for its employees. So you're such you're so satanic and in your face. See, this is Satan getting in God's face.
Yeah.
See, he can't help being who, and Allah is loving this because, you know, he's loving this because they're right about at the point where he can body slam him because he's a just God. So rather than you pay them a livable wage, you go out and say, we're going to get some canned food for y'all.
That sounds like Scrooge. That's Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, that's Ebenezer Scrooge for real. What was the guy who worked for him? He was so poor. And so Walmart is definitely playing that game. So is Minister Abel on?
If she's not, she may have muted. But, yeah, that's a sad reality that you work a job where your job knows that they're paying you that much, that they're going to make sure that you can get food because we're not paying you much. It's not that we're giving – you're looking out as another corporation looking over at you and say, dang, y'all suffering over there, so we're going to help you out, the company that you're working for. Mm. And then we wait in line to get that which they're giving us without even protesting. The reason why we're in this line is because they're not paying us any money.
You know, I want to while we're waiting for Minister Ava to come back, I want to read a few lines from this Build Black Economy by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
And tell that article and when it was written, where it was gotten from, because that was interesting also.
Yeah, it was written, it was in the, October 22nd, 1971, Muhammad speaks. From 1971,
right.
Muhammad speaks.
Right.
And it starts off that black economy is one of the first steps that is necessary for the black man to take, from economy in his home to farms and factories. I repeat that. From economy in his home. So you start in the home first, to farms and factories. We boast that we are free. To boast of freedom of self means that you are one who is responsible for your economic condition. A people dependent upon another people to take your responsibility means that you are putting yourself in the position to be a subject people to another people who are free. If we look forward to our slave masters to teach us economy, it may prove a failure in the end unless they are friends of ours instead of our open enemies. The white Americans have proved themselves to be our open enemies. If we watch them in order to learn their way of economy, we will become a most extravagant people. America, who has become the most wealthy people on the face of the earth, is also one of the most extravagant and wasteful people on the earth. So we, the black people, the once slave and now a subject people, should not try to adopt the economic ways of a people who cannot truthfully say that they practice economy among themselves. Man, this man is heavy. I don't care what y'all say.
I'm telling you. Oh,
this black
my
man
goodness.
Is heavy.
Oh, my
And that
goodness.
Was just the article.
And
he's
saying this a while back.
1971.
1971. That's
and
right.
And we haven't followed. You know, he warned us about following these people who we thought are our friends, and look where he's left us. And now we say these ball players, 80% of the football players are bankrupt after 5 years after they leave the league. NBA players, 60%. So here it is. He said, look, they're going to trick you. They will have you living an extravagant life, trying to follow behind them, and they're going to take all your money. And here these guys, they had no money. Now they got all this money. Now they ain't got no money. And here we are looking. We dreaming about being like them. I don't think so. I'm trying to understand the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and understand the love for us of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm trying to understand these two men so I can better myself.
Right. And we know money is not wealth. And, you know, going back to the secret relationship between blacks and Jews and the whole concept of currency, and how paper has no intrinsic value. You know, it's, Dick Gregory was on, I forgot whose show he was on, I heard recently. I think it was Cliff Kelly here in Chicago, but no, it was Joe Madison on Sirius XM, the brother that plays the Million Man March Pledge every morning.
Right.
But Dick Gregory was discussing John F. Kennedy's assassination, President Kennedy's assassination. And he said that President Kennedy was killed for the same reason President Lincoln was assassinated, which was taking back control of the wealth, of the currency, the money. And one of the sources that Dick Gregory relied on and Joe Madison read from was an article written by a brother named...
As soon as you name the names...
Don't leave us out there like that. Brother named who?
They're trying to cut off. They're not going to stop. Dr. Ava will be right back. She's going to continue what she was saying, and they ain't going to stop this. But I think, Dr. Bridge, while we're waiting, the issue or the title, Blood Suckers of the Poor, is a perfect example.
Well, you know, I was just I listened last night to 1992, Shock of the Hour by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, 1992. And in there, he exposes the Federal Reserve completely clean. He said, these are Jews who print the money for us and not Congress. And whenever somebody like Lincoln or Kennedy decide to take back the right to print and issue money by the government to the people, then they're killed. And keeps everybody else shut up. So your other senators and Congress people are afraid to say anything because they know that they'll wind up dead, like Wellstone up there in Minnesota. Planes crash, all type of stuff. Children be dead because the reality is this country was sold out a long time ago. But because it was so wealthy, stealing from the rest of the world, the inhabitants of this country, who were the slaves of this country, are rich compared to the rest of the world. And now that these Jews don't need America no more because they have their tentacles all over the world now and a military to protect them.
They keep cutting off.
Now they're pulling the rug out from underneath American people and making them fall as low as those in Europe, of the poor in Europe in the 1800s. That's what they had to leave to come over here. They made the American people now the same way. They've used them, and they're dropping. So black people need to look past white folks and realize that the white folks who you think are so great, they're being took. And the only person who has the nerve to tell the truth and give you guidance is Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He understands this thing completely. Put your money with him and let us get out of here.
Right.
I'm sorry. I keep getting cut off. Just want to say something. I'm sorry. Can you all hear me?
That's where you got muted. Right,
Brother Cedric,
you the name of that
isn't
person.
That something, Brother Cedric Muhammad did the research for the final call. It was in the Final Call newspaper in 1996, explaining the assassination of John F. Kennedy, because you know, there's just been oodles of theories and all of this, but at the end of the day, in 1963, President Kennedy issued an executive order that would have the U.S. government issue silver notes.
Right.
Now, to make a long story short, that means that the U.S. government would begin to issue money that was backed by silver. The money issued by the Federal Reserve, which Dr. Risley understands thoroughly, if you want a source, and the minister taught us on this years ago, but the Federal Reserve developed in 1913, came into existence in 1913 along with the IRS. They are the ones that issue currency in America. They're the ones that put money into the country, in the stream mm-hmm. of activity. And, and though it has the word federal in it, it has nothing to do with the U.S. government. It's completely private. So the existence of that alone tells you we are corporate controlled.
That's
this
right.
is not a real government, a real country, a real democracy. And President Kennedy's executive order, which would have taken effect 6 months later, he was assessed, it would have basically destroyed the Federal Reserve's ability to loan, the U.S. government would not have to borrow money that was backed by nothing and pay
and
these high interest rates. Because the Federal Reserve is the reason the United States is in such debt.
That's right.
And he was assassinated 1 month before this went into effect.
But every time the Federal Reserve prints a dollar bill, they loan that to the United States government.
Right, right.
And then the government issues
and it's
it, puts
backed
it back
by
in the bank.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's backed by nothing. And
exactly
they're printing
right.
out so much of it, $85 billion a month. And I just saw on the PBS, they're talking about how the stock market is increasing because of the Federal Reserve pumping so much money out into the economy. It's reduced the interest rate, so people are borrowing money to buy stock because it's so money is worth.
Oh my God!
It's so low, so they're borrowing money to buy stock, and now the stock market is blowing up again, and they're going to sink it. They're going to sink it in 2016. They're going to sink it again. They just play this thing every 7 or so years, and the people don't forget, and they fall right back into it, and it's people using borrowed money to play this game, and in the end, we are holding the cards. We, the American people, are paying them, basically, interest for them to play with our money and to put us further in debt and then to get super rich off of playing it in the stock market, which is nothing but a Ponzi scheme. So
that's all it is. One big fat illusion.
Yep. One big fat illusion.
But
we lose it all the time. Illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's put out of her.
Yeah, and this is why we have to step out of it. There's no, see, these politicians and preachers and people that are out here on their behalf, on the enemy's behalf, talking and saying you need to vote more, you need to do X, Y, and Z. It's the Wizard of Oz. It's not real. There is
right.
nothing we can do to win on this board. The board is artificial. The people are artificial. They were allowed. They're like the carriage in Cinderella, the pumpkin. See, this is why they write the kind of fairy tales they write. They're talking about themselves.
Please.
You know,
please.
At midnight, you're going to be a pumpkin again.
Come
okay?
On.
The horses are going to go back to mice or whatever. It's over. And we still continue to hang on to something that no longer exists. And listen to what Dr. Ridge is saying, all paper. The Quran forbids that. We say we're Muslims, but the Quran forbids charging
right.
money for money.
That's right.
It's called usury.
That's right.
The Quran forbids gambling, and we're all lined up at gas stations buying lottery tickets.
Mm.
But when Bumpy Johnson up in Harlem and black folks used to pool their money and one person would win, they call that numbers or bookmaking, that was illegal.
Mm.
But what would happen is whoever won that week would share their wealth with their neighbors. So the money stayed in the black community. So the difference now is it was taken away from us. And so now they're playing a state-operated lottery, and it's legal. We need to get out of this. So we're out of time. I want to thank you, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence Muhammad. I want to thank the Elevated Places team, Sister Rona, Sister Madonna, the WVON team, Brother Ashad, Brother Timothy, and, of course, the callers and those who log in. This is for you. This is Elevated Places, your voice, and we hear you. Visit avaspeaks.com, and inshallah, we will all be watching and hearing Minister Farrakhan Sunday at the Indianapolis Convention Center, December the 1st, 4 o'clock p.m. And is that Central Time?
Yes, Eastern it is.
Time?
It's Indianapolis, so...
Indianapolis, that's Eastern. That's Eastern time. The time changes in Indianapolis. So that's 4 p.m. Eastern that the program begins. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.